This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
We are in a fasting series this month. Amen? And the title of my sermon is Fasting for Fresh Vision. And I'm going to say this, that we all need a vision from the Lord. We need a fresh revelation of who God is. And I'm telling you, I think sometimes in our walk with God, you know, at times we go through struggles, seasons of struggles. Have you ever been in a season of struggle in your walk with God? But God can bring you through the struggle. He can bring you through the desert into the promised land. You got to believe that. You're going, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. And so we've been talking about fasting. In my first session, we talked about fasting for a fresh anointing. And we know that in the Old Testament, they anointed kings and prophets anointed kings to do the work of the ministry. And in that particular message, we talked about that God wants to raise up heroes in the faith. And I believe that God wants to raise you up. Do you believe that today? And the scripture that we use was Psalms 92:10. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. So God wants to anoint us. I believe just being in the service, there's a presence of God, that there's an anointing that can, you know, you just don't, you know, the faith is not just taught, it's caught. So you got to be in the atmosphere of faith. Amen. You got to be in the church service. Glory to God. And I believe that you can get a fresh anointing. We know that King David was anointed by Samuel to be king. Of course, it took many years before David became king. But he was anointed. And remember this, that he found out about Goliath. And he was already anointed, and that anointing gave him a fighting spirit. And I believe the anointing of God on your life will help you have a fighting spirit. In other words, you don't give up. You don't throw in the towel. When you encounter problems or issues, you keep moving forward. Amen? Amen. And so I believe this. So the anointing, somebody say, I'm anointed in God. And so I believe that God wants to put his, his extraordinary on your ordinary. Amen. And so fasting also is a way that we humble ourselves before God. You know, fasting and humility go hand in hand. And humility is a key factor that shows our dependence on God and not ourselves. So how many people are depending on God out here? Amen. I'm telling you, I need God. I need God in the morning. I need him in the afternoon. I need him every day of my life. And we need to always be humbling ourselves, and we need to have a right heart attitude. And fasting is kin to humbling ourselves before the Lord. Amen. And every great leader, I believe, were humble leaders, and every great leader, walked in the supernatural power of God because they fasted. You know, we talked about Moses, and he went on a 40-day fast with God, and he wrote the Ten Commandments, and God gave him a revelation not only of his word, but he gave him a revelation of his goodness on top of the mountain. And I'm telling you, we need a revelation of God's goodness. You need a revelation that God is good no matter what you are encountering in this life. God is good. Don't ever forget, God is good. Somebody say, God is good. God is good. And so Moses fasted, and he wrote the Ten Commandments in the first five books of the Bible. Amen. And Elijah, we found out that he went on a supernatural fast too. And he broke off depression off his life. And so I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't have them anymore, but I used to have some down days. I used to have days where I was, downtrodden. Anybody ever deal with depressed days out here every once in a while? But you know what? The closer I get to God, the less depressed days I have. I'm going to say it again. The closer I get to God, the less depressed days I have. And I remember Mondays, you know, after preaching, I should be on top of the world. But Mondays used to be a blue Monday for me. But then I started, you know, I learned about fasting and I started fasting. And, you know, those blue Mondays went away. Amen. And I wasn't dealing with, you know, the depression or even feeling down. Amen. God wants us up. I'm going to say that again, that God wants us up. God wants you up. He doesn't want you down. Amen. You know, the Bible says we should always be looking up, you know, towards heaven, thinking about the goodness of God. And so God is so good. So Jesus also fasted in his public ministry. And we know he fasted and he went through the wilderness in his fast. How many people have started the 21-day fast feel like you're in a wilderness? Don't even answer that. Don't even answer that. Sometimes it is not easy to sacrifice for God. Sometimes it takes, you know, a lot out of us to sacrifice. But I'm going to say this, the payment is well worth it. The payment, payday will come when you seek God with a whole heart. And Jesus fasted and God prepared him for a great ministry. And Jesus walked in signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen. And I'm going to say this, that God has more for us in 26. Amen. Do you believe that today? And I think that we need to not, you know, this fasting is to really to reset us and to get us moving forward in 26 for a great year. How many people believe that 26 can be better than 25? I'm believing for a better year this year. I'm believing that it's going to be greater this year. God's love in my life is going to be greater. God's joy in my life is going to be greater. God's peace in my life is going to, it's going to go up higher in 26. Do you believe that today? And so I like what Paul, and the Apostle Paul was an amazing man of God, saw visions, you know, and God and Jesus commissioned him to minister the gospel. And he was amazing. But Paul, you know, he was never satisfied with even all the great things that he did. He was always pushing forward. And I'm going to say this, if you're going to be great in God, you got to always push forward when your body says no. Has your body ever said no? I work out 3 days a week. And, you know, it's not like I'm real excited about it. You know, I got to fight just to get into the gym. Some days I just want to be lazy. I'm talking myself. Just show up. Just show up. And then if I show up, I start working out. Amen. But just getting there. You know, if you just make it to church, you'll beat half the people. Just show up. Just showing up, amen. You'll be the top, you'll be a top lister, amen. A-lister, amen, if you just show up. And in Philippians 3:13 and 14, it says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended it." In other words, Paul is saying that I haven't obtained it yet. I haven't arrived yet. We're never going to arrive until we get to heaven. Amen. "But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." How many people are pressing in to the things of God more today than yesterday? You are, because you're in church today. Amen. We're pressing in more. You know, it takes effort to make it to church. You know, it's easy to sit, you know, lay in your bed and watch me online. For all the people watching online, I thank you for watching. That it's a lot easier doing it that way. But really, to get ready and to beautify yourself, you know, it takes me a lot of time to look this good. Amen. My wife complains because I take longer to get ready than she does. You know, and she said, what, you know, she gets everything done. Good thing for, I'm so thankful for good wives. Amen. Because I don't know where I'd be at without my wife. Amen. She makes me, the Holy Spirit and my wife makes me look good. I'm going to say it again. The Holy Spirit. Good wives are not easy to come by. And they're worth rubies and precious jewels, as the Bible says. So we don't want to get satisfied in just the status quo in life. We want to keep pressing in. That's why we're fasting. Last week, I ministered on fasting and prayer for healing. And we know that you can fast and pray. And the Bible says when you do that, that healing can come forth speedily. A lot of people think that, you know, that you just need, when you get sick, just feed yourself. But really, you know, the key is that if you learn to start fasting, I'm telling you, the power of God will heal your bodies. In Isaiah 58:6, it says, "It's not the fast that I've chosen to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke." These are great benefits of fasting. And I like the last one, to break every yoke. In other words, there's things in our lives that may not be broken without us going into serious prayer and fasting. And you know, and that's getting serious. You're getting earnest in your prayers. The Bible says it's the prayers of a fervent prayers of a righteous man that makes tremendous power available. And I believe that we can get fervent in our prayer life. Today I want to focus on fasting for a fresh vision. Glory to God. Look at your neighbor and say, get a dream. Amen. Amen. We need to get a dream. Hallelujah. I think Pretty Woman. Something about getting a dream. Amen. And the movie. Anybody seen that? Okay, I'm not advocating it. But anyway, it's those romance movies. Glory to God. The ones that my wife likes. But anyway, we need to get a dream. Somebody say, get a dream again. And see, a lack of vision will keep us from progressing in our walk with God. In other words, no vision, no growth. I'm going to say it again. No vision, no growth. In Hebrews 5, 12 and 14, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who are partakers of only milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Now, you know, the thing is, it's unfortunate, but there are a lot of babies in church. Amen. And we Paul was saying to these people, these Hebrews that were, you know, in God, he was saying that, you know, you should be teachers, but you're still babies. And so God wants us to grow up in him. And I'm telling you, a lack of vision will keep us really from moving forward and growing in God. Amen. Because I'm telling you, when God starts launching you out into the ministry that he's calling you, I'm telling you, that's when you're going to need to get close to him. And that's when you want to start walking with him and obeying his word. Can I get a witness in the house today? And so a lack of vision, number two, a lack of vision from God makes us unsteady and easily distracted by worldliness and undisciplined in our walk with God. So when we lack vision, we lack discipline, we tend to be unsteady, we tend to, you know, fall for, you know, hobbies instead of moving forward in God. And so the key to our dilemma is in Romans 12, 1 and 2, "I beseech you there, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." So Paul is saying here that our bodies really belongs to God, and we need to make them acceptable sacrifices to him. And we need to present them to the Lord and to the service of God. So every time you read your Bible, you're presenting your body. Every time you pray, you're presenting your body. Every time you come to church, you're presenting your body as a living. Every time you fast, I'm going somewhere this morning. Every time you're fasting, you're presenting your body as a living and holy sacrifice unto the Lord. You're going to say no more Twinkies. You're going to say no more donuts. No more processed foods. I'm going to get serious in my fast. I'm going to get close to God, and I'm going to have a fresh vision from Him. Amen? We got to get serious about our walk in God. And then he says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's powerful. So we prove out the will of God in our lives. Number three, a fresh vision from God will cause us to become more discerning and help us grow up in God. I don't know about you, but I want to be a discerning Christian. I want to be aware of what God is doing. I want to be aware of my surroundings around me. I want to be aware, amen? You know, I want to be conscious of God, amen? I don't want to be unconscious, amen? I want to be God conscious. Amen. I don't want to be self-conscious. I want to be God-conscious. And so we need to be focused on that, that God will give us a fresh vision, will give us a discerning heart to know the times and the seasons that we're walking in. In Hebrews 5:14, it says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who are reason to use their senses to exercise, discern both good and evil. I want to know if there's areas in my life that's not pleasing to God. And I want to make sure if there's areas in my life, I don't want to be in the dark of things that I'm doing that might be displeasing to God or might be hurting my faith. Sometimes we're speaking negative and we're not realizing that negative speaking can hurt our faith. Sometimes we may not be as honest as we need to be. In other words, we can lie every once in a while. Not just in bed, amen? And so you don't want to lie because that will affect your faith, amen? Plus, I try to stand on the word, all liars will find themselves in the lake of fire burning with brimstone. I think about that every time I don't want to lie, amen? And so we don't want to be telling fibs or lying. Why? Because it will affect our faith. And when we're walking our walk, we want God revealing truth to us. I want truth. I want God to reveal. If there's areas in my life that needs to be adjusted, I don't want to be in the dark. I want truth in those areas of my life. Amen. And God will give you truth. I remember this one minister that was back in the 40s. He was doing miracles. And Brother Hagin got a word that he was going to be judged because God was going to judge him if he didn't judge himself in three areas. And judgment of God could mean that your life could be shorter. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I want to live a long life. And I don't want to be doing any things that will cause the judgment of God to be on my life. Can I get a witness in the house today? You know, God is still judging people. Amen. Look around. Their judgment, the Bible says judgment begins in the house of the Lord. But there's a way that you can avoid judgment. How do you do that? You judge yourself. In other words, you allow the Word of God to examine you, and then you get right with the Word. Get right or get left, right? And so I want to do that. And so this man was a prominent minister back in the 40s. He operated in miracles. But there was three areas in his life that he needed to straighten up in. One area, he wasn't treating people right. You know, you need to love people. And he wasn't treating his fellow ministers right, and he was mean. Amen. He was mean. He wasn't humble. Another area in his life was how he ate, and how he ate. He was really overweight, and so he wasn't judging himself in that area. Amen. And so these are areas that we need to judge ourselves on. Or why? Because we can reap what we sow, and I don't want to reap what I sow. Amen. And so these are areas, I can't think of the third reason why. I'm trying to think, where's that third reason at? Amen. It will come to me. Amen. But two of the errors. But anyway, he wouldn't judge himself. The prophet Haggai went to go talk to him and said, listen, you need to get yourself right because judgment's going to come. But he wasn't willing to sit down. He wasn't willing to give himself right. And he died early. And even though he was a prominent minister, we got to make sure that we are examining ourselves, making sure we're walking right with God. Because if we're not, it can shorten our lives. Is that right? Yeah. Amen. Oh, that's right. Thank you. I just got some help from the congregation. Amen. And the third thing is how he handled his money. Right? Now you're saying, Pastor, you're meddling today. Amen. Did you have to go there? How he handled his money. You know, we're stewards of God's finances, of the finances that comes in our lives, and we need to steward it well. Amen. A steward is a manager, and you need to learn to manage it well. Amen. And those three areas, he was abusing in those areas, and then he got judged for that. And so I want to make sure that that a fresh vision will give you a discerning heart. So we're focusing on a fresh vision today. And the key is that to receive it, we got to be praying and fasting and seeking God. And we need to run every day and seek God for a godly vision in our lives. Amen? And I'm telling you, vision is key. You know, the poorest man in the room is not a man with no money. It's a man that has no dream. I'm going to say it again. The poorest person, you know, in the room is not the person, again, that doesn't have any money. It's the person that doesn't have any vision. Because vision will get you the supply. Vision will get you where you need to go. Amen. And in Proverbs 29:18, it says here, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I love that. So it says here that without no vision, death will come into our lives. Amen. That's putting it pretty plain, Pastor. Amen. Yeah, I'm putting it plain today. With no vision, death can come into your life. We don't want death. But with vision, you can have life. Does anybody have any vision? Does anybody believe in God for anything in here? Anybody believing that you're going to go to the next level? That it's not going to stay the same? That's what the devil will tell you. Oh, it's staying the same or it's going to get worse. Have you ever heard that one before? It's like a broken record. It's going to stay same or it's going to get worse. But, you know, my Bible says it's getting better. Though your days might start off humble, your end will be great, as the Bible says. And so it may begin humbly. It's going to be great at the end. Say, I'm telling you, your last days will be better than your first. You got to believe that. And you're going into better days. Amen. And the Amplified, it says, where there is no vision, no revelation of God, I'm trying to get it out, and his word, the people are unrestrained, but happy and blessed is he who keeps the law or the word of God. Amen? So without no vision, there's no revelation of God, you are unrestrained. In other words, you don't have any discipline. And so vision will create discipline in your life. Do you believe that today? And, you know, I've said this before. I went into a body for life contest. And it was a bodybuilding contest. It was all natural. And I remember that, you know, I had to stay on that contest. It was for many weeks. It was 12 weeks that you had to eat right and work out. How many people want to join me on that? But anyway, and you had to eat right and drink lots of water and work out. And what kept me motivated through the 12 weeks was I would look at pictures of people that were in shape. Amen. Now, what could motivate you is look at people that are not in shape. Amen. Because you don't want to get there. But I kept reading magazines that would talk about health and fitness, and it kept me motivated. Amen. In other words, the vision, you know, will keep you motivated, keep you running when it gets hard. I'm going to say it again, the vision will keep you motivated when it gets hard. And so I would look at these pictures and say, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. And I believe I got in the best shape of my life a few years back. Amen. And I need to get back there. Amen. So a fresh vision from God's word, a fresh vision can come from God's word received and acted on. So think about this. When you think about the Bible, it's not just information. What it really is transformation. The Bible is not just good stories that you just glean from so that you can have, you know, that you can talk about these stories and maybe glean some key points out of them. It's more than that. The Bible is a vision book. It has promises in the Bible, thousands of promises in the Bible. And those promises are visions that you can receive and you can walk in. So the key is that when you get the Word of God, it creates a vision, and that vision will help you to run on the course that God has for you. In Hebrews 10, 24, 25, let's look at this, because I think that really the vision, the first vision that a Christian should have, you ready for this? And this is for those watching online, is that we all should be in church. I believe that God wants people in church. And I believe this because the Bible says this: if you want to get a vision, get hooked up with a man that has a vision. I'm going somewhere this morning. If you want to get a vision, you have to hook up with a man that has a vision. And so if you want to move forward and get a vision, then you hook up with a local church. Amen. And you start coming to church and being part of the church and being part of that vision. And the Bible says, if you're not faithful in another man's work, who will give you your own? In other words, if we're not faithful, if I never got faithful to serving the pastor that founded this church, I wouldn't be here today. And I don't know if this church would be here today. But because I got faithful to another man's vision, God gave me my own vision. And I'm going to say this: you got to get faithful to another man's vision before you can get your own vision. Glory to God. I think about Elijah with the S that served Elijah with a J. Amen. They sound so close when you say them out loud. And Elijah served Elijah. Do you remember? Did you know that? And Elijah, you know, was there when Elijah went up in the chariot. And he received a double portion. That's what he wanted, a double portion of that anointing. And I'm going to say this: when you come to church and you're serving in the church and you're serving the vision, God will give you a vision of your own. Now, I'm not saying go start a church down the street. Amen. But what I'm saying is that God will give you a fresh vision. Yeah, He may send you out to minister. He may give you a missions call. He may give you a calling to do something outside the church per se. But God will give you a vision, and you will be satisfied in your walk with God. There's a lot of unsatisfied people in the body of Christ. Why? Because they're not walking in their giftings and the callings that God has for them. And I want to be satisfied. In Hebrews 10, 24, 25, it says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another as so much as more to see the day is approaching." So here, Paul is saying that even in that day, back in the Bible days, there were people that weren't meeting together and assembling together to worship God. And he was saying that, and this is a vision that says we all need to be in church. I know there's times where you might be dealing with issues, you might have problems, you might not be able to make it in at times, but we should be basically making the church if we can. In other words, the second best is watch online. Amen. Thank you for watching. But we need to be in church. You know, another thing, if we're going to hook up with the vision of God, we need to be, you know, using our finances to sow into the church. And when you do that, God will finance you. When you bless the church with your finances, God will bless you with finances. Amen. And I've seen it in my life. I've been I don't want to toot my own horn, but when I came back to God back in the 90s, I fell out of church, I backslid. And then I lost everything, and I came back to church. It was a country song, amen? And when I got back to church and I started really serious, got serious with God, I started giving 10% and offerings to God back in the 90s. And I said that I was going to continue to do that, and I've never stopped. By the grace of God, God allowed me to help me to do that. And since I've been doing that, God has blessed my life over and above more than I could ever ask or think. And God wants to bless your life. And so if you get involved, even you watching online, if you start sowing in offerings, if you're not giving into a local church, you can give into this church and God will bless your life. And I'm telling you, Matthew 6:19, it says, do not lay up yourselves treasures in earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if you get involved in a God vision, you get involved in a church that's promoting the gospel of the kingdom of God, then and you start tithing and giving offerings, God's going to bless your life. Amen? Somebody say amen on that.
Amen.
Amen. I like that. Glory to God. Amen. And then we got here, we don't want to be living for ourselves. We don't want to be living for ourselves. That's what a vision is. It's a God vision. It's not just a personal vision. I had personal visions in my life. I thought that I was going to be doing other things, but God came in. Has God ever interrupted your plans? Has God ever came in and interrupted what you wanted to do? I love that. And Jesus is saying this, that, you know, our life is not our own. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. And Jesus says it this way in Matthew 6:24-25. He's talking to his disciples. He says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I'm going to say this. It's an empty life to live for yourself. Our life was never meant to live for ourselves. It's meant to live for the Lord. And when you start living for God, running on a God vision, God will do amazing things in your life. Amen? I'm going to say this. The Word of God will give you vision. You need to find promises in the Word of God. And you need to start standing on those promises. Sometimes you can read a scripture and God will give you vision on a scripture. 5 years ago, I had no investments. They teach you in Bible school, they don't teach you about setting up retirement accounts. They teach you about the Bible. So I didn't know anything about retirement accounts. I didn't know anything about 401ks, IRAs, or anything like that. And I just thought you just live every week, get paid, and pay your bills. And hopefully you got something at the end that you can put in savings. And so, but I read this scripture, and it says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. But I want to focus on the very beginning. When I read that, I realized that God wants me to have an inheritance for my family. I never realized that before. I said, wow, I don't even have a retirement account. So what I did was I started studying and doing my due diligence. And today I have retirement accounts, thank God. And I am working hard to have a legacy for my family. And I'm going to say this, that you should be not working hard just for yourself, just to retire so you can live it up in Hawaii, amen? No, you should be working hard for your family. Amen? It's a legacy that you want to... Does anyone want to leave a legacy behind? Not a legacy of debt. Amen. Some of us will leave a legacy of debt. We don't want to leave a legacy of debt. We want to leave a legacy of prosperity. Am I talking to the right group today? And I'm telling you, I had nothing 5 years ago. Now I have a little bit of something today by the grace of God. And God has shown me how to invest and how to multiply and how to sow. And I'm telling you, I'm a blessed man. I'm not going to show you my financial report, but I'm a blessed man. Glory to God. And you can be blessed too. And just this scripture alone, God gave me vision, and I'm still running hard on the vision to provide a great legacy for my family. You know, I think about Milton Hershey. Have you ever heard of Milton Hershey? Hershey bars, we used to have some over there. They're all gone. Amen. They're all gone. We had a bunch of them over there. And the Hershey's chocolate bar. And so he's a famous man, Milton Hershey. But you know that him and his wife couldn't have kids. And they started adopting kids. And did you know that he started adopting kids, and then even his wife passed away, and he willed down his business to take care of orphans for his life. No wonder Hershey's is prosperous and blessed, the Hershey candy bar company. And so what did he do? He set up a legacy for what he made for the blessing of orphans, and he's still blessing orphans today. Doesn't the Bible say we should be blessing the widows and the orphans? Glory to God. And God blessed him far beyond. And I believe if you start setting up a legacy for your family, maybe stand on this scripture, a good man. I don't want to be a bad man. I want to be a good man that leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Amen? Number two, a fresh vision from God will keep us doing God's plan and not our own. A fresh vision from God, because a lot of times we're doing our own thing when we need to be doing God's thing. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? Fasting and prayer will help you remove the things that might be distracting you from God's plan in your life. Amen. In Psalms 127:1, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Amen. So unless the Lord builds a house, you can do some good things, but if God's not in it, there's not going to be any eternal reward for it. And I don't know about you, but everything that I do, I want that well done, thy good and faithful servant, come in and receive your rewards. I want that good and faith. I want to make sure what I'm doing, God is in it. Now, just because you might be struggling, maybe coming out to church and now you got some struggles, doesn't mean that God's not in it. Sometimes you can have struggles and God's still in it. Amen? The Lord builds a house. They that labor in vain, or they that labor in vain who build it. And so I don't want my life a vanity. I want my life a purpose. How many people want purpose in their life? And in 1 Corinthians 3, 12 and 15, it says, it's talking about building your life. And it's talking about when we get to heaven, God's going to look at how we build our life down here. And it says in 1 Corinthians 3, 12 and 15, now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and that fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which has been built on endures, it will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. What is the Apostle Paul saying? He's saying on Judgment Day that God's going to test our works down here. And either they're going to be done in God or they're going to be done in vanity. It's because we're doing it for ourselves, for self-promotion, or we're doing it for God. And I'm going to say this, that we need to be living our lives and serving Him and walking out a God vision for God. I want to be running on a God vision. Amen? And so I don't want to suffer any loss down here. I want to have everything that I can when I get to heaven and make sure that it's a blessing. Inheritance. We're moving towards an inheritance. Somebody say, I'm moving towards an inheritance. Amen. A great inheritance. Amen. And number three, a fresh vision from God comes from us spending time with Him in prayer. I'm telling you, I wouldn't be where I'm at today if I wasn't a person of prayer. And I'm telling you, I pray. I like to pray. Why? Because I know that I can't do it on my own power, on my own strength. I need God power in my life. How many people need God power in your life? And I'm telling you, through prayer, God has directed me to come back here. Through prayer, God's directed me to help the pastor when he founded this church. Through prayer, the Holy Spirit revealed to me that I needed to be a blessing to help somebody with a vision so he could give me my own vision. Can I get a witness in the house today? In Habakkuk, it's in 2, 1 and 3, it says here, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me, and I will answer when I am corrected. Okay, so this is very close to praying. You're standing in a place. You're in your prayer closet. You're praying and you're watching and seeing what the Lord will say to you. And then there might be areas in your life where he may want you to correct. And that's good. I want God to show me areas in my life that I need to adjust in. Why? So I can walk in the best that God has for me. Amen. And he said, the Lord answered me. He said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. It will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So I'm going to say this. When God starts revealing things to you in this fast, write them down. Write down what? Why? Because we tend to forget. Writing down your vision helps you get clear on what you want or what God is leading you into. Writing down a vision will help you stay motivated. You got to look at your vision every day. Writing down a vision helps narrow your focus. Writing down a vision gives you realistic time frames to work towards. And writing down your vision allows you to celebrate progress. You see you're moving forward in Him. And so I love that. So if you're going to walk in a God vision, amen, we're going to have to walk out these points, amen? To close, a fresh vision from God keeps us growing in Him. Amen. And I want to grow in Him. Amen. A fresh vision from God keeps us steady in our walk with God. I want to stay steady in Him. Amen. I don't want to be a wishy-washy Christian. A fresh vision from God gives us a discerning heart. I want to be aware of my surroundings. I want to be aware of what God is doing. Amen. All the time. I don't want to be unaware when something happens. A fresh vision from God is received by the Word of God. God's Word will give us a fresh vision. And a fresh vision of God keeps us doing God's will. And a fresh vision from God produces a life of prayer for each one of us. As we in this 21-day fast, as we seek Him, I believe as we start allowing His Word, allowing prayer, allowing these things to work in our lives, we will have a fresh vision from God. I want to close it out with Isaiah 49, 29, 31. And it says it this way. He says, He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. This is what we're doing when we're fasting. We're waiting on the Lord and praying. Then they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. Hallelujah. So I believe, you know, it might be tough. You might be having a hard time. Maybe you weren't as faithful this week as you could have been. Well, we got another week. Amen. I'm going to say this, reset. Start over today. Maybe you weren't as faithful to your fast. You can get faith. Maybe you broke down and ate the Doritos. You know, that's okay. You got two more weeks. Just start over. God's the new beginning God. He's a U-turn God. He's a start over God. Amen? I love that. So in this time, I believe that you're going to get it fixed in 26. Amen? Did you receive it this morning? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. And I thank you, Father, for these precious people out here. and those that are watching online. And perhaps you are listening to my message, you're watching, and you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life. Well, today is the day of salvation. You may not have another chance. And Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. He's asking to come in. And so if you're ready for Jesus to come into your life, to give you a fresh vision, a fresh plan for your life, just pray this simple prayer and mean your heart. Say, "Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen."
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.